What's up? What's up?
How y'all doing, listeners? We're back.
We are back in action, and I'm really excited. We have been doing a lot of mountain biking. Well, you got stuck in your throat. Don't even say it.
Well, I don't know what the heck that was about.
We've been doing a lot of mountain biking.
Yeah, and a lot of mountain biking crashing.
You know what?
It was an expensive weekend.
It was a very expensive weekend. Last weekend we were out mountain biking and just living life. Oh, we went mountain biking, then we went shooting to the gun range. So I'm completely hooked now. So that's fun.
And then we went out to dinner.
Another expensive hobby.
Yeah. I love it.
And then we went out to dinner. And then Sunday we just were so exhausted. These mountain bike rides, when I talk to people at work, they think oh, it's la-di-da-da, mountain biking and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then I'm they don't get it. Mm-mm. They don't get it. So it's actual up down mountains, a mountain bike ride.
And then when you ride with me, I push you and make you do some more extreme stuff, a little off camber, off course, trail, whatever you want to call it.
You know, and last weekend I did great. And to me, I felt like that was super difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And then yesterday we went out and it's the quote unquote easy trail, you know? And guess who falls?
Yeah, but here's the thing. And this, we can actually turn this into... No. We can actually turn this into probably a good little learning lesson here. Because the trail that we did last week, it's a rough trail. It's rocky.
Yeah.
It's not an easy flowing. It beats you up the whole entire ride.
Correct.
So you were on guard. You were paying, 100% attention, mm-hmm. laser focused on every turn, every maneuver.
Yeah.
You were cautious. You never let your guard down. Yesterday, the trails, and this is what can sneak up on you, is you were going through the difficult stuff very easily.
Yeah.
But then when it came to the simple, just, we call it out here, it's kitty litter. It's like little baby pebbly, know, kind of washy type rocks. And it happens to me too. Caught you off guard. You start to lax your mind a little bit, your focus.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're like, whoa.
Boom, out of nowhere.
Exactly. And you go down because you just kind of lay off the gas with the focus.
Tumbled a little bit and now I'm just... my legs are completely bruised up and it's battle scars, I guess. But praise God, I'm fine. And I didn't hurt myself. And so
that's a life lesson too, right there, is because, people will have all these tremendous success during the hard times, or they look and see this mountain and they climb it. And then the easy things they fumble on, or they stumble, or they forget to do, or whatever, the basics. And it's because, you were on coast mode coming down the other side of the mountain. You were just,
very much on coast mode.
You laid off the focus.
I did. And I keep replaying it over. I'm that type of person that I will replay it over and over in my head to figure out what I did wrong so I can course correct. Not to harp on oh, I fell, I did something wrong. It's literally for my mind to go, okay, I don't know if you heard that, but Mickey,
he licked the mic stand. Hey, buddy.
But it's so I can remember to not do that next time. Mm-hmm. And it's just a learning opportunity. You're going to fall down. Yeah, I got a flat tire too. So I'm getting a new bike. I can replace a tire, but, I'm just getting a new bike at this point.
There's more to it, guys, than just that. She's downplaying it.
This is the scariest thing. I barely have any brakes. I got a flat tire. I bent the handlebars and the seat, which, you can all
everything's fixable.
But I have outgrown this bike. And I think we've talked about it before on a previous podcast too. I've just become a lot better and I need a better bike to match my skill.
And also the trails that bike is designed for, you can do them with your eyes shut.
Yeah.
It, you know, for you to progress and keep having fun, you need a better bike because your skill level, tech level, all that kind of stuff's increasing.
This is what Josh tells me. So I'm believing him and letting him buy me a bike. So.
Yep.
Yep.
Good. I finally got the green light. You heard it all here first. It's recorded.
Oh gosh. But it literally is just a learning experience. Everything that, like, you can take it into life too, like outside of mountain biking. Like, you're gonna fall down, but it's not how many times you fall down, it's how many times you get back up.
And also the kind of tools that you use in your life to progress. You know, sometimes we and this is goes with personal development is, you know, you have to look at here you go. You have to look at yourself as a big tool. Because you know, you are the tool that's going to shape, mold, and fabricate your life into what you want it to be.
Yeah.
And so if you're just the basics, a bike without training wheels, pretty much, that's all your life's ever going to be, is just the next step up.
Yep.
You can ride it. It can get you from A to B.
Correct.
But is it going to be fun? Is it just at that point, it's just whatever.
You have to continually level up your life and yourself in order to match the level that you want to be
it's like a
category.
Carpenter that's, you know, there's special tools that you need to make the certain, you know, crown molding edges and, you know, the cuts and finishes and all that kind of stuff. You can't do that with just your basic hand tools. You need the specialty tools. Same thing with being a mechanic, things like that. Well, think of it in your life. You have to have specialty tools in order to make your life great and wonderful.
I love that. That could be like a whole other podcast.
I know. We're just talking here, but this is how we talk, you know?
We're like doing a puzzle and we're just like talking. Yes, we are old. We do puzzles. We have our old fashions. We just do the puzzle and stay in on the weekends because, one, it's tourist season out here right now. So it's like nearly impossible if you want to like on a whim go out to eat. You can't. You're probably eating at like Taco Bell.
And let's be honest, we're so spoiled by so many amazing restaurants and everything that, like, if you went out every weekend, it would totally lose its, like,
luster.
Yeah. And grandiose and all that kind of stuff.
Oh.
Where,
can you spell that?
No. So I like to keep it, you know, special events or once in a while or the date, right?
Yeah.
Continue to date your wife, that kind of thing. We'll plan something maybe 2-3 weeks out, but it keeps it fun because I never want that shininess to wear off.
Yeah.
You know, so. That's just my take on it. Yes, we could go out every weekend and live it up and everything like that. But there's also something to just staying home, being in your cozy pajamas.
Josh is looking at the Lego set because we have to finish this puzzle in order to do the Lego set next.
Right.
And we just like have some drinks. And
it's our date night.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so much cheaper than going out too.
It is. Maybe the next thing we do is we both do a painting.
I would love that. You got those little canvases. I'll take one. You take one.
Yeah.
And see what we can do.
For sure.
Okay. Cool.
Okay.
But anyway, today's actual topic.
Anywho.
After that little intro there.
I know.
Whatever you want to call it. I kind of heard this before. Not kind of. I need to work on how I speak.
How you speak.
I've heard this topic before, and I always thought it was really good because it actually, I can relate to this. And so the topic is, I just need to get into the room. And the idea behind this whole thing is, you know, the way that it was projected to me was, if you're an entrepreneur and you have a business idea or you have something that you're trying to start out on and you need maybe funding or you need somebody that's going to invest, you know, you may have this great idea, but you never put yourself in situations where other people are going to hear it or the right people are going to hear it.
Yeah.
And sometimes that opportunity is just in the next room. Whereas if you were to be vocal about your ideas, your dreams, your vision, maybe the right person is going to hear it and be that one that comes and saves you and funds your idea, helps you out. Your next business part, your next big investment may just be in the next room. Mm-hmm. And, or if it's a promotion at work, you know, maybe it just takes you being in the right room and, you know, being yourself and putting forth like your best performance and all that kind of stuff, your next opportunity, your next promotion, whatever it may be, could just be right there. Well, but we just need to put ourselves in that room.
Yeah. And I completely agree with you, and put yourself in the room and like put yourself out there too. Correct. Because that's the biggest thing. Like how I got like the promotions that I have gotten like recently is because I was willing to do the things that most people didn't want to do. Mm-hmm. I was doing my work plus also doing multiple projects plus also finishing up a certification. And I was doing all of this work so that way I can get into something different. But I think the biggest thing was when I had to do presentations, I had to do it in front of higher ups. Mm-hmm. And like everyone else was like really scared to speak in front of like all of these people and this kind of stuff. And I was like, well, I have a podcast, so I can probably do this. But I'm not afraid to like speak up. And as long as you are yourself and confident in what you're presenting in this big room, then they're going to like want to like hear more and look at you as like, wow, this person has a lot of growth and like opportunity that they can do X, Y, and Z. But also to this point, like I have been in corporate America for 11 years now. And the one thing that I always do is I network beyond belief. And it doesn't matter their job title whatsoever. And like, I'll have people like, I have something called a network tracker that I use. I don't know if I maybe have mentioned it before.
I don't think so.
Okay. So I have people in this because I love Excel. I work in data, whatever. So I have people in this Excel sheet of someone that I want that position or someone that their leadership style is like what I appreciate. Someone else who I don't really like see their leadership style as my own type of thing. So people who are similar, people who are different, things like where I want to be in the company and everything. And then I have a cadence of how often I like talk to them. Do I have a quarterly meeting with them? Do I just shoot them a message? Like all this kind of stuff, because you never know who's going to be like, wow, Josh is really showing up and like actually caring about me and like remembering about, you know, my three kids and like all this kind of stuff. And then they're going to be the person, you just need to get into the room, they're going to be that person to help you get to the next level that you want to be.
I love that. And like that room is probably going to, exactly, I'm going to go further with what you said, like that room is going to be filled with all the people that you strive to be or the positions that you want to hold, you know, hold. And so, yeah, surrounding yourself with people that are, and this is where the you have to be humble, because people that are better than you, you have to be like, okay, for me to become better, this is the type of room I need to put myself in. And I might look like a fool for a little bit or not have all the answers like they do. But you know what? That's the type of situation where when I sit in those types of rooms, I keep my mouth shut and I just take notes. I listen. I absorb. I'm like a sponge. And that's how you do become better. I'm not trying to, you know, be pompous or anything like that, or try to, you know, there are people like that though, that will try to speak up or put their two cents in when it's not really needed. And they end up making themselves look like an ass because it's like, dude, you really don't know what you're talking about. You know, let the adults talk kind of thing. But it's like, know your place in a nice way. You know what I mean?
The nicest way possible.
But you know what I mean? Like these people have been doing it for a multitude of years, like all that kind of stuff. Maybe they have all these different accolades that go along with it. Now, if something is truly wrong and you speak up and then have X, Y, and Z behind it to support your idea. I mean, I've been in that type of situation too. It's how I became the manager at one point was I got invited to a meeting one time and the manager wasn't there. I was his replacement. And they liked so much what I had to say and the things that I saw that were wrong and I could change and, you know, implement. What happened? I think like a week or two later, I became the manager because they were like, wow.
But you were also going to quit and go to a different job too.
Because I know my worth. If I'm not being recognized, but all I had to do was get in that room to be recognized. They didn't realize who I was, what I could do, my potential. They were sitting on a gold mine. They didn't know it, but I had to put myself out there in order for that whole situation to happen. It was super uncomfortable. I was nervous. I think I stumbled on my words a couple of times. Hands were sweaty. But like, it was one of those things where it was like do or die. Like,
Mom's
okay,
spaghetti.
If it was like, you know, do or die, if I don't speak up now, then I'm never going to have this chance again. And what's the worst that's going to happen? I was ready to quit and move on anyway.
Yeah.
So, whatever. And it ended up working out.
It did. For sure. And I'm really proud of you. And I'm sorry. I have a song for everything that people say and you say. And I know it bothers you. But no, I'm super proud of you because most people don't have the guts, the courage, whatever, to speak up and like showcase who you are and what you bring to the table.
Yeah.
Because you never know like the opportunities, yes, but you never know like kind of what you said, like who is going to be inspired by you.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you bring those innovative ideas, that's what higher ups want.
Correct.
They don't want to think of the next greatest thing. They want you to come to the table to be like, this is what I think we need to be doing and run with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I had this conversation too with someone like at my level and like other people that I work with. They complain that like these directors and so on, they don't give them a like step-to-step process. And I'm like, no, they have this vision. You got to run with it and figure it out type of thing. Because what is like the use of, I have a step-to-step that's wonderful, great, but like you have to be innovative in order to grow and like when you're in these rooms be able to like have the guts to speak up because you've done it before over and over and over again.
Some people are dreamers and other people are producers or
yeah that makes sense.
So like somebody may be in a position that they dream up these ideas, these concepts, but I don't know the ins and outs for this to,
that's me,
you know, to come forth. I don't know how it's actually going to be on paper and pencil all the way through.
Mm.
And so sometimes visionary people will come up with these ideas and they're really good.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have, you know, the people below you that work for you that are supposed to be the ones that figure it all out.
Yep. Exactly.
And make it happen. That's just kind of how it works.
Yep.
You know,
it happens to me all the time. And like, I love it because it'll be like word vomit and I'm like trying to decipher what they actually want and like a vision of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I produce something and it's like, yeah, this is exactly what I wanted.
Right.
Like you just have to figure it out.
And the best is when you have the idea and then you give it to somebody to execute it and they execute it maybe not the same way that you would have thought, but it still gets the job done, but they put something in there that you're like, that is great. You came up with that all by yourself. Like not that you came up with that all by yourself, but like you came up with that and I didn't think of that. Like that's a great puzzle piece that we can now use, you know, and that's how teams are built. That's how businesses, great businesses are ran. It's a collective.
Yeah.
It's, you know, and hopefully you don't work for somebody that takes all the credit for it. You know, that does happen as well. That's not great leadership, but like in my position, you know, there's a lot of things that I put out there and try to be more efficient when it comes to certain things, or how can we change this? And I leave it open-ended to like, hey, I don't have all the answers, but I do know that we need to do this. Think about it, guys. Get back to me. How can we change this? And then, you know, when I have to go to my meetings, my weekly director meetings and things like that, I shout them out. I go, hey, this was so-and-so's idea.
Yep.
And, you know, it's been working great.
Yep.
You know, trust me, I'm not here to rob anybody's
glory
or anything like that. I would give credit when it's due.
Same thing. They're like, thank you for doing XYZ. And I was like, oh no, that was blah, blah, blah.
Right.
It was me helping and managing that project, but they did all of the work.
Right. I kept it on like, track. We made sure we hit the deadline and like I was doing all the polishing.
Yep.
But the initial idea was.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah.
And we talked about it before this, like before jumping on the mics here, check one, two, about Shark Tank and how getting in that room.
So that's exactly where, exactly this whole idea, because they're startups.
Yep.
They're doing them out of their garages, their homes. They're doing okay with it, but they just need that opportunity to get in front of those four judges or five judges, whatever it is.
Yep.
And pitch their idea.
Investors.
Investors. Pitch their idea and go big, go public with it, go whatever. And so that's the whole, like, that's the concept. You can scale that down into certain areas or whatever for your life.
Yep.
That's the kind of opportunities we're talking about, is if you always keep it in the closet and you never, you know, be vocal about it, or you never let yourself shine because of fear, oh, they're going to make fun of me, or it's a dumb idea, blah, 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 whatever. You have to get that out of your head and put it out there, because how many businesses, you know, start and take off because it was just the right time, right room. They had the right ears to listen, and, you know, it happened.
I mean, I think back to when I first started teaching fitness, and like, I was scared to death to get in front of people. And if it wasn't for my one friend, Laura, I probably wouldn't be teaching. She's like, you would be great at this. Like, I see like so much potential in you. And I did it. But when I first started, I had maybe like 3 to 5 people in my class, like in the room. Mm-hmm. And then because the facility was like very small, and as soon as they went to a bigger one, you know, it was still a small class. And then there was just a wave that all of a sudden it just grew. I think the one, like January was like the ridiculous amount of people, obviously, but it was up to like 60 plus people in a room. And I'm like, wow, how did I get here from 3 people to 60? Mm-hmm. And it's because Josh worked out at that gym, and he said, you should, you know, see if you can teach here. Mm-hmm. Now that my other friend saw something in me, and I just got in the room. And even though I was super new, I was like, I'm going to do this. Like, the energy that I bring, like, all this kind of stuff, you never know. And then I impacted,
I was just going to say, how many other instructors. Or people that turned into instructors.
Yes, exactly. It's probably 2 handfuls by now, which it doesn't. Some instructors are like, oh my gosh, they're going to take off my people. And I'm like, no, like, I'm so proud of you, because it takes a lot to step out and do something completely different. But it's all of like, who is going to see that and say to you, like, I'm inspired by you, please go and do this type of thing.
And to that whole point, you know, I'm here in my position at work to groom other managers.
Yes.
And I have, as soon as I took over this new department that I'm in now, the 4 people that I have 6 people, 4 that are actually like, you know, parts advisors. But I straight up told them, I said, if you have any interest and sitting in my chair one day, or having an office, being the manager, being the director, you know, by all means, come to me. I am more than happy to show you what I do. I'm not, you know, I'm not the
closed door type of manager.
I'm not the Wizard of Oz behind the curtain. There's no magic here.
Do you keep your door open?
Absolutely.
Okay.
100%.
Good.
I also answer phone calls. I also help counter customers. They are so because not used to that. You've been there. Yeah. 100%. And so, you know, they were like, oh, okay, cool. Like, we've never had anyone ever tell us that before. Or like, you know, because they had so many questions. How do we become you? Like, how do you do that? Blah, blah, blah. And so I told them my story. I said, you know, I just worked my butt off, and I was you. I was in your position not too long ago. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you just have to show up, show out, and have some leadership and be that type of person that's dependable and have, you know, just have the vision.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I'm really big into like manifesting things, and you have to start. I was calling myself the assistant's part manager before I really even was. And then that came, and then, you know, so you have to vocalize things, but also have that attitude And I would always look at my old parts manager and just be like, I could do what you do. What's the difference between you and me?
That's the same with like me
I could
taking
it.
Someone else's like fitness class. And yeah. I was like, I can do that.
Yeah.
I have a personality. Like I can do this.
Yep.
That for sure.
Yep.
But you inspire me so much. Can I just say? Because you started as a lot boy, literally moving around cars in a dealership.
Yeah.
To where you are now. Do you ever look back?
I was making $13 an hour.
Do you ever look back and be like, mm-hmm. look how far mm-hmm. I've come in my career?
Mm-hmm.
I
do.
It's astonishing to me because you never gave up.
No.
And that's the thing. Most people, they're going to give up. They're not going to get into the room. You just have to have that mental fortitude to keep on going
mm-hmm.
no matter what, because you never know who that angel investor is going to be. You never know what opportunity is going to be the next.
That's right.
And
you also have to know your worth too. Mm-hmm. And not in a cocky way. I'm not talking about being cocky. I'm talking about working on yourself. I knew that, and this all coincides with the personal development.
Yeah.
This is when I started to dive in on our relationship, on myself.
Yep.
And obviously my faith and everything like that. You know, I knew that God had more in store for my life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I really leaned in on that with faith and just knew that I'm going to continue to be the best version of myself that I can be.
Yep.
I'm going to take a lot, you know, leadership classes. I'm going to read leadership books. I want to be able to run a group of people and be, you know, somebody that they enjoy to work for and respect.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I continue to still do that. And, in, you know, more or less now it's more of a faith-based, like Christian background
yeah.
of how to lead people and things like that. And to be a, you know, figure of that. But yeah, I mean, it's, I'm a proven testament, and trust me, I'm not done. I still have visions of where I want to go and where I want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm meeting the right people and putting myself in rooms that, you know, I'm meeting CEOs, I'm mm-hmm. meeting owners, you know, that kind of stuff where normal people would freeze or they would yep. just feel very uncomfortable. And I just look at everyone as a person,
mm-hmm.
you know, they put their pants on the same way I do, you know what I mean? And it's, yep. it's, I'm going to drink from the fountain of your knowledge until I can't absorb anything more, because that's what I need to do to progress.
Yep.
I'm here saying, I don't know everything. Teach me.
Yeah.
I'm humbling myself.
For sure.
And that seems to have worked for me, because I don't go into a situation cocky. I don't try to know more than the next person. Trust me, I don't.
Mm-hmm.
And I just know what's right or wrong. And more or less, I work off of, okay, I've worked for managers that suck, and I'm just not going to do what they do.
Yeah.
Everything else is figure outable.
Yeah. For sure. Okay. I mean, you summed that up really well, and I feel like this really hit home, at least for me.
Both of us.
So I've done it plenty of times, and now I'm just looking for a job that fits more or less my passions. So we're mm-hmm. we'll get there,
mm-hmm.
you know, but you have to just get into the right room.
Yep.
Okay.
I love it. Thank you, guys.
All right. Well, thank you again for tuning in every single week. If this resonated with you and you feel like someone else could use it, you know what to do. You can just share it, please. That's how we grow. Okay. If you want more, you can go to, you guessed it, www.peakdrivenllc.com and follow along with all of our antics. And you know what? You can probably follow me on Instagram, but Josh hasn't posted in years, so you can try and follow him. He maybe follow you back.
Yeah, it's a very boring follow. I wouldn't waste your time. Follow Krista.
Yeah, exactly. To know what's going on in the world of the Fishers and Peak Driven. Okay, well, that's all she wrote on my end, y'all.
All right, love you guys and God bless.
All right, go be the light.
Bye-bye.
Bye.